All right, so today we're going to talk about the transits that will be passing through Aries. All right, on April 16th. Yeah, it's April 16th. We'll see in a little bit. I've already generated my astrology chart to use an example where on that day, there will be a total of six planets transiting through Aries. All right. This applies to everyone. So if someone wants to closely analyze the energies, the influences, the influxes that will be flowing through us all, as an individual and collectively on, and let's just say the middle of April, we all will be feeling this Aries expression with the planetary influences that will be reflecting the life force through us, through our centers, okay, our chakras. Now, and briefly show the tree of life. Okay. Chokhmah. Here is what we can consider the parental father, divine father, the light which is seeking to manifest in the form. Here we have Divine Mother or the Parental Mother. Down here we have Tefrith. Okay. This we can consider our higher mind, our center, our soul. I hesitate to say soul, but there is a point within us that is divine and infinite and all-knowing, but is clouded here on earth with the personality. And the personality is derived by what we can look at in our astrology chart as an imbalance of the force, the cosmic forces that are attempting to which when I say as above and come within, it's actually as within that are trying to illuminate outwardly, as within, so without. So here we have our true self. Let's just say our true self, our higher self, okay, which is attempting to bring down the light. Here's Aries, key four. Okay. This will be a lot more clear once I share my screen. Through this path down to our higher mind. Okay. I'll use multiple terms, multiple labels because there is multiple labels, and especially dependent on who has provided these labels and it's been accepted by the aspirant. Okay. So Tefrith, which is, we could say, ruled by the sun, because we are children of the sun, right? Remove the sun from our solar system. What happens? There's nothing. Okay. We are the light. We can look at the sun as a portal where we came and we're in the dense matter. Now, Aries, key four. This path. Okay, here we have up here in the causal plane of all that is, cosmic forces that are coming down to our higher mind and with our awareness and our consciousness, our conscious focus, we can know that these energies are flowing through to us on the physical plane or through the personality, like personality. Okay. We can take these energies and use them however we wish to use them. I think it's nothing more than awareness of the energies, and then our subconscious sort of takes the reins and guides us in a more clear path of what is already destined for us to tread anyway, our life path. Okay. Let me share my screen. Let's get into the astrology chart. My focus is, hang on. Okay. So my focus for today, and I do this once a month for my chart. My focus for today is to just shine light on how within our chart we can take notice of the influx that's coming through. Because once we have a knowing of why we feel a certain way, or if we're restless, or if we feel like we lack energy, we can use astrology as sort of a symbol or a glyph of mapping out the energies that are flowing through us. Just a reminder that planets are the influences that we, the life force that is reflected, that influence us on a daily basis. We can look at them as more of the direction that we aim toward. That's what our natal chart, the vibration that we carry in with that imbalance that I spoke of earlier. So my chart is, of course, not straight. Okay. So we have four quadrants. My first and third quadrant, first and third quadrant is a lot smaller than my second and fourth quadrant. So, in other words, my personal development and my social development of the third quadrant, the first quadrant is personal development, will be more difficult in this lifetime for me to develop in order to ultimately try to balance out my chart in all four quadrants of personal development, family development, social development, career development. Okay. Now, the inner planets, those are my natal planets, my 10 natal planets. Okay, the day I was born, that was the planetary positions. And then the outer planets are the transits. So we have right now on April 4th, okay, we can see that Mercury and Mars are not in Pisces yet, but Neptune, Saturn, Sun is already there. And also the moon will be there on April 16th. We're not going to talk about Aries. We're not going to talk about Chiron. They're in Aries. Now, this is Aries, not Aries, the zodiac sign. Aries, the asteroid, which is considered in mythology as Mars has a twin sister, and she causes trouble. Okay, so she'll come in almost like a Lilith in a sense and stir things up and then leave. It seems diabolical or evil, but it's really not. It's just to prevent inertia and get the energies flowing. And she's been in Aries, the zodiac sign Aries, probably for 50, 60 years, because she's out beyond the orbit of Pluto, which Pluto takes, I think, 284 years to orbit the sun. So she probably, Aries, the asteroid, probably takes 350 plus years. Anyway, we're not going to talk about her today in the chart, but let's just know that she has caused a lot of excitement over the past 300 years. Okay. Or let's just say, see, she's at 25 degrees. Yeah, about just to simplify, 200 to 250 years. Lots of incitement. Lots of wars. Okay. And in fact, she probably going back to the Piscean age, which is the foundation of love over the past 2,000 years, it's been created. Aries was in Pisces stirring things up, which can date back to the Romans and even the Dark Ages, where after Mother Mary reincarnated, or let's just say created a parental fractal of herself as the High Priestess of Delphi, and then eventually was tortured and murdered by the Romans, which created the Dark Ages. But all of that, of course, within the divine plan, has a purpose in order for growth, no matter how horrific it sounds. All right. Astrology. Just a review, I have a simple label for each house and what that area of life, when it comes to experience and development, represents. Now, my 10th house, everybody's 10th house, is clarity of purpose. I'll scroll down just to show that I have made cards where it gives descriptions of, well, that's the first house, Aries. Here's 10th house. Labels and to make it easy for what we will experience when we have our planets in these particular houses and what the attributions are, what the developments are, the assigned tarot key, of course, the Hebrew letter that is assigned to the tarot key. It's also affiliated with the house and astrology. Everything's interconnected. Okay. There really is no wrong way to read and interpret astrology, tarot, Kabbalah. I learned that after many years, where there it's not all black and white. It's exactly what works for the individual. Okay. Now, as a collective, in the group consciousness, we have all came to an agreement that the symbol of the devil and key 15 has its definitions in order for our conscious mind and subconscious to communicate with each other within union. And this is when we're actually connecting together, linking symbols in order to create our individual consciousness growth, higher understanding, and expand our awareness. Let's go back up to the chart. So here we can see that with the 10th house, clarity of purpose, and the Aries expression is going to be very strong for myself and others. Everybody's chart is going to be, of course, different and And so find Aries and focus on that house, that area of life that will be guided through with those planetary influences coming through. One thing I want to talk about is, well, before I get to balancing out these energies as we experience them, we can see that, again, there are relationships created with the natal chart, I mean, excuse me, the natal planets and the transit planets. I can clearly see that my natal Saturn right here has oppositions with not only with my natal moon, okay, experienced opposition with my Saturn, Mars, and Jupiter, Venus and Moon opposition. That's a natal opposition that I experienced this in this entire lifetime. So there will be conflict with others that I will seek to balance, especially when it comes to the feminine. Okay, females will come into my life and reflect back to me aspects within myself that will be very difficult for me to synthesize and create that understanding. There'll be a lot of conflict. Now, it's already happened up until my up to today. I've experienced a lot, and I use all that experience to create understanding about myself, okay, especially on the personality level. And so I will monitor my aspects that are trying to break through on a subconscious level, and to know that my reaction, or I should say my response, I need to monitor, analyze, and watch my response. Know the feeling that comes through, if I'm receptive or non-receptive. And when I say non-receptive, I mean when I'm focused on denial, wrong, or lack. Okay, that could be love, that could be abundance, that could all these generic feelings that we have that create what we call depression or anxiety. So that's what the oppositions will create for me to experience and integrate in order to become more whole with myself and create that balanced chart. Okay. So, first quadrant and third quadrant, personal development and social development, my communication with the feminine, with the mother, that's going to be a challenge in this lifetime. And it has been a challenge, but I've done a lot better and continue to do a lot better because of my awareness of my temperament and how I wanted to create the life path that I have. Now, going back to natal Saturn, we can see I've got oppositions right here. Barely see them. They're up here. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Neptune, Saturn, Sun, opposition. So, again, I'll try to seek balance when it comes to people that come within my life or people, places, and things, primarily relationships, because that's when we learn the most about the avoidance patterns that we have. I suggest not to ignore or deny anyone, because if we have judgments towards someone, we actually need to spend more time with them in order for us to figure out what they're reflecting to us, since we're all one, okay, different aspects of each other. And then I can alchemize that difference, what appears as conflict and difference of which may appear as difficult to create a relationship with, doesn't mean I need to start spending all my time around people that I don't really get along with or there's differences, but at the same time, I can look for what we call triggers or my responses to those people. And if I don't react in what we can see here, the masculine and feminine, the masculine of Sun, the feminine of Saturn, with my natal opposition of Saturn in the third house, the communication house, right? The analytical house, the logical thinking house, then I will seek to create that balance within, okay, that harmony. Right. Opposition, let's see. Opposition, seek balance, awareness, conflict with others. Okay. Squares, the red squares need to act. They take work, effort, determination to make changes and causes conflict within. So that could be as simple as diet. Okay, there's conflict within. Caught in a habit of eating too much food that really doesn't have any nutritional value. And consciously, or I could be unconsciously doing this, but if I just change my diet a little bit to more fruits and vegetables instead of a breakfast granola bar, which was made by machines and humans put together for commercialism and quick filling food, then that's what I'm referring to when it comes to inner conflict with squares. In fact, I have a square in the sixth house with this, which is health, work, and service. Okay. Natal Neptune, and I have some squares with Mars and Pisces, and my now I do have a natal square with Moon. Yeah, Moon. And so a lot of that contributed to this square, this inner conflict, along with those oppositions early in life, contributed to what I believe to the delusion of me needing alcohol to numb my feelings, because I am a Cancer ascendant. Okay. My daily habits, my daily expression is going to be Cancerian, and I will feel first going into environments or interacting with people. And a lot of times I will want to avoid feeling. So Neptune in my sixth house, which is Lord of Illusions, but also the higher octave of Neptune, or the higher influence of Neptune, is high spirituality. Okay, but we got to get through, the personality has to get through the disillusionment in order to see and have that higher understanding. Okay, so I experienced a lot of that early in life, avoidance patterns, until it got to the point where my oppositions cornered me and said, no more, time to get sober. And 10 years sober now. But and I have that gift of understanding from Neptune now when it comes to spirituality. All right. Going back to Aries. So we can see my clarity of purpose is the area of life which When it comes to clarity of purpose, a lot of times I feel like I'm already experiencing exactly what I want to experience. And this has to do with my already predestined life path. But what's interesting about Aries in my 10th house is that spirituality is a big part of my daily life. In fact, if I get off balance, and that anyone can do this with their chart, find your ascendant and know the and try or find the ruler of the zodiac sign. So Cancer is my ascendant. The ruling planet is the moon. If I'm having a bad day or if I feel a little unbalanced, I will go find the ruling planet, which is ninth house Pisces. Okay. And all that means is the ninth house Pisces, that area of life, the ninth house, which is higher understanding, higher education. I'll take all the knowledge and experience that I've gathered through the experiment of life, and I will filter out what works for me. Okay. Because when it comes to and I do that. Like I'm doing astrology now and it feels good. Right? It's actually for myself. That's what the ascendant is supposed to do for everyone. Know the ruling planet, find the ruling planet, do it for yourself, which will with that those attributions of the zodiac sign, which is Pisces, for me and mostly, most importantly, the house itself, that area of life. So mine would be the ninth house, okay, which is ruled by Sagittarius, and Sagittarius has the ruling planet of Neptune. Neptune is squared. So here we have my Neptune cause an inner conflict. Well, it did at one time, and it still does, but just on a higher within a higher octave of expression. So I have to put forth the work. I have this strong determination that comes from within for me to make digital content that involves spirituality and also bring a lot of the old teachings and spiritual a lot of the, yeah, just old teachings and bring them to within the new, which involves the digital age. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and scroll down. I'm not going to talk too much about oppositions and squares. More importantly, I want to talk about how tarot and astrology work well together. Yes, we have the glyphs for the planets, for the sun. We can see right here the moon, Saturn, Mars, Neptune, and Mercury, all in Aries on April 16th. Okay. But we can use tarot to go even further just by knowing that the sun is assigned to key 19, the moon is assigned to key 2, key 21, Saturn, key 16, Mars, key 12, Neptune, Mercury, key 1. Once we have these memorized and they're actually embedded within our cellular memory, okay, our conscious mind and subconscious is working simultaneously together, that it's within union. I've memorized, I've impacted my subconscious enough where I've memorized that these keys, which are full of more symbols than just an astrology glyph, then that's when the subconsciousness actually, that's when the magic happens. Okay, these keys, just staring at them for 3 to 5 minutes a day, actually has, is very meditative and very, I'll just go ahead and say powerful, because the force that is behind these symbols that have been carried along for many generations will expedite the spiritual path that we're all on. Okay. There's other versions of tarot out there, but I've found that this version that I use, which was not modified but enhanced by Paul Foster Case and his mystery school, seemed to be the best because it just involves the Hebrew letters, which go back even further than some of the tarot itself. Okay. But Paul Foster Case did an excellent job integrating all of it together. All right. Now, I'm not going to get too much into this, the tarot keys, the symbols in the tarot keys, but just having this knowing is a great starting point. And I can see within my own chart that with Aries, which is assigned to key four, the Emperor, I can go look at my cards that I've created on the next page. Okay. And with Aries in the 10th house in a blending state with that relationship, I can know that I will be experiencing a lot of these attributions. But let's look at the, because we talked, I showed you earlier in path 15, that's the constituting intelligence. And that's nothing more than we build our own constitution, just as our founding fathers of America created the Constitution for United States of America, right? Once they left Europe. It's the same for us. We can create our own constitution for what works for us. We don't have to be influenced by society to operate a certain way. We create our own reality. The influences are strong, and yes, as a community and group consciousness, we work together and grow together. But ultimately, with Aries, the I am, we create our own constitution. We have to know ourselves before we can to get to that point of really knowing our self-image, self-confidence, self-awareness, doing away what we borrowed in early childhood. You see right here, early childhood to develop our ego, which is very much needed to individuate, right? But we take all that information from the experiment of life, and we can think about Aries. We can look at Tarot Key 4, the Emperor, and know that he, this king, right, Divine Father, we can say Divine Father, we can visualize ourselves right here holding this wand in one hand, looking to the left. Left in tarot means to the past. He's out in the wide open. He's not surrounded by cities or houses. He's in the rough terrain where a lot of us don't want to go. But with the flowing water in the background, that symbol for consciousness is flowing through. He's the emperor is sitting on a cube of life, perfectly balanced. He's got a white beard. This cube represents balanced on earth, right? Aries ram. He's got a white beard full of wisdom. He's got Aries symbol on top of his helmet. But who's he looking at? Who is the emperor looking back at? Looking to the, from our vantage point, to the left, to the past. Well, key three is the empress. Okay. He's looking at his love, which is Venus, divine mother, the pregnated divine mother. All right, not the high priestess, who is the primal mother of everything, but he's looking at the impregnated mother, which I'm not gonna show the tree of life again. But anyway, let's go back to so yeah, Aries. You can use this card for some labels, definitions, and attributions to define the expression, the natal expression that I have in the 10th house is Aries. Okay, but these planetary influences that are flowing through Aries for all of us in the middle month, in the middle of April, they'll create oppositions and squares, as we can see here. My natal Pluto is in opposition to my moon, my transit moon and transit sun. Okay, that's going to create some. I'll just have to seek balance when it comes to the attributions of Pluto and sun and moon. We'll leave it at that. And then we also, then also, I'm going to have this Saturn opposition with Neptune and Mars for a while, actually. Well, with definitely with Neptune. But look at the quincunx. Remember what quincunx means? I always write these down every month. Necessary growth into function, need development, strong motivation to mature these energies. So, with Jupiter and quincunx, this is 150 degrees, not exactly 180 or 120, is 150. These energies will be difficult, but I have to be able to see them. It's more like an opportunity. If I can see the appearances or within or without of Jupiter, quincunx, Mars, my natal Jupiter in third house, quincunx, yeah, Mars, okay, in the 10th house, then it's gonna, this is gonna create something within the physical world for me to experience in order for me to catch it. Okay. Could be conflict to what appears that I'm avoiding. If I can catch within the 10th house area of life, this clarity of purpose that Mars energy is going to bring in as a reflection. Now, I have to be look on the lookout for my denials. I'll have to be on the lookout for the non-receptions of believing that I'm wrong, or if I am in lack, if I can catch myself making a judgment, it can be a thought, it doesn't have to be said out loud, then that's when I grab and link into that judgment and say, okay, so Mars is showing this to me because of, I need some more. I need to shine light consciously on my clarity of purpose with the within the area of life of the 10th house. Okay. Yeah, and I could be, or I want to not say I, but we could be experiencing something that may be nothing more than a thought, but Mars will come in and help us take action. Okay. And Jupiter, of course, is all about expansion, but I'll have to analyze this within my Virgo zodiac sign of the third house, that zodiacal. Excuse me, the Virgo expression in that present moment with a quincunx of Mars in Aries. All right. So quincunx. Anyway, one, two, three, four, five, six. I got plenty of quincunx. It's gonna be all kinds of appearances that are gonna stir up feelings within me. And hopefully I'll catch them and then say, aha, I see you, I feel you, I know what you are. Now let's become more whole, and consciousness growth will occur, expansion of awareness will occur, and more remembrance of who I am will occur. The subconsciousness will actually begin to spread out more because of the consciousness, the conscious suggestions that are received from subconsciousness will be accepted. Okay, that's the divine marriage, is when our conscious mind and our subconsciousness become more within union, divine union, and we begin remembering more. Right? Other multidimensional lives, our higher self is more tuned in with our lower self, and we begin to see everything as it really is. Okay. Something that Dion Fortune told me when I thought about this with clarity of purpose, not told me, but taught me. Now, she probably told me too with psychic pressure, now that she's passed on. But I like the example of how we all are here on Earth in dense matter, but at the same time, there are infinite amount of planes of existence and beings and essence that is all being mixed together that we cannot even see with our physical eyes due to the limited spectrum that we are on. And we can use the colors of the chakra, from red all the way up to purple, and that's our spectrum that we can perceive as physical beings with our physical eyes. But Earth itself, fairies, giants, anything that we can imagine is here and there at the same time. We're walking through crystals every day that we cannot see because the vibration is so high that we just don't even know we're walking through a crystal, right? But the what going back to what Dion Fortune said, and I can feel her presence now, the essence of Dion Fortune, okay, is think of a ceiling fan that is turned off. That could be the that we can know as the physical plane at a low vibration. Now, when we turn the ceiling fan to low, it starts moving. Our vibration is actually going up higher. We can still see the five ceiling fan blades turning. Okay. Then we go to medium, it turns a little bit faster. Medium high, it turns even faster. Now the blades are starting to look like a blur, and then the ceiling fan cranked up all the way to high, we can't even see the blades anymore. So we're down here at the lower levels of the speed of a fan, whereas there are planes of existence here on Earth with other beings, and they are spinning so fast vibrationally that we cannot perceive them, but we can feel them. That's what's important. Take a trip to Sedona. That place is vibrationally so high, and we, as dense beings who especially hadn't visited Sedona yet, there's other places on Earth, but Sedona itself is very vibrational. Go there. Consciously know that we're in the energy and have the feeling of the energy actually perpetuating through us, and just meditate, relax the body. They will pay spiritual dividends that is well worth in this lifetime. Okay. I want to talk about just really one or two more things that we can do with our astrology chart. So I have Libra down here at the bottom, okay? We can see that the fourth house and the 10th house, and these are actually in the 10th house, okay? It's just the software ran out of room to include them in the house. There we go. So here we have what's called there's axis that first house. Aries is normally in the first house. Libra is normally in the seventh house. Okay. With my unbalanced chart, Libra is in my fourth house and Aries is in my 10th house. So we blend those together and we can look at the axis and know that Aries is liberty and then Libra is law. So here we have Aries' characteristics of wanting absolute freedom, independence. We can also dare to say no relationships. It's all about ego building and individuating. Whereas Libra has to work with Aries and say, hey, we need to actually create relationships. We need to balance like the scales that Lady Liberty is holding here. We need to balance out these energies. Okay. So when what I'm getting at is when we have liberty versus law, I'm looking to strike a balance between Aries and Libra. Right? I do have some very good, genuine relationships in my life. And my goal is to go out in the community and actually create new relationships so that other attributions can be reflected to me. And that way I can know thyself even more and become more whole and create this balance right here. Okay. So this, but with all these planets in transit going through Aries, my fourth house, right? Private life. This is also the nadir, okay? The root of my subconscious. I do have natal Pluto there, which is my source of power, which will help. It's creating an opposition and some quincunx, but what I'm getting at is I need to just be consciously aware of how my Aries expressions will want to, and I can feel it already in April. The outside world is going to be coming at me fast, hard, and strong. I'm going to have a lot of energy because the top half of the chart is more exterior and extroverted, whereas the bottom half of the chart is more introverted and interior, within, more subconscious. Top half chart is conscious, can be viewed as consciousness. So I got light shining in all different kinds of directions. But if I can just remember that I have Libra in my fourth house, my natal fourth house is Libra. Okay. Then I do have some control over some of my responses. All right. Saturn is what's the word I'm thinking of? Exalted. Yes, Saturn is exalted in Libra. So I have Saturn over here, my natal Saturn. Which I can play with it. Okay. I can actually channel myself and say, hey, Saturn within my third house of Virgo, help me tune in and balance and more equilibrium way as Lady Justice holds her scales in a balanced way and her sword to actually cut through all the analytical noise that I create within my conscious mind to have a higher understanding so that I have a clarity of purpose. So I play with this all the time. And so also with these attributions and characteristics, they're not defining me. It's really just play. And so to think about my response to when it comes to my freedom and then of Aries, and then I have some boundaries and some structure created with my Libra in the fourth house. I can see myself actually right here balancing myself out. No matter what the astrological relationships are when it comes to squares, trines, and sextiles, and oppositions, and quincunx. Okay? We have that power. We all are Christ consciousness beings. This just tarot astrology is fun because we need symbols for our subconsciousness to wrap around in order to create clear channels within ourselves so that we can have more clarity and have and see through appearances. Speaking of appearances, if we scroll down to 10th house, here we have the devil and the first stage of unfoldment with the principles of consciousness when we're in duality, okay, and not so much one foot in oneness and one foot in duality, we have the effect of appearance. And so we're going to see what we appear as darkness and ignorance if we don't have clarity of purpose. And a lot of times early in life, we learn about ourselves by creating careers, okay? Careers because society has, our society in America actually is a system where we think we find achievement through jobs or careers. Really, we're just learning about ourselves. Know thyself, and then eventually we want to be able to accept ourselves. And there's a lot of us who have a lot of planets in that fourth quadrant where developing a career is our life path, and we feel and we have that fulfillment, that feeling of contributing to a career development for no right or wrong reasons, okay? But just we can always know that we have humanity as serving humanity no matter what. I think that should be enough. My mouth is getting dry. And anyway, April 16th is just be aware that April 16th we'll have six planets in Aries. Okay. That'll. Let me see. There is one more thing I want to talk about really quickly. I'll just use this chart right here. So as I said before, with the axis, right? So we have Aries, which is liberty, Libra versus law. What about the other zodiac signs? Right. Well, here we have Scorpio. And Taurus. Scorpio is regeneration versus Taurus generation. generating or creating. And Taurus is home of the second house, and that is the development of the emotional body. Once the emotional body is developed within our lifeline early in life, let's just say from age 10 to 16, age 10 to age 16, just to simplify. Later in life, after our emotional body is developed, let's say from age 40 to age 46, we have experienced a whole lot of emotions, and we know ourselves well enough now where what we call trauma or bad feelings or feelings we don't want to feel anymore, and we create denials. We actually regenerate within our etheric body. Our etheric body will have the knowledge and knowingness to regenerate our physical body. And this is how we live long. And this is how we don't get cancer. And this is how our soul is bright and the life force flows through us to such a high degree where there's individuals who live well past 100 years old with a lot of energy and a lot of good health. We just don't hear about them much. A lot of times because they're living in a quiet life, not caught up in the what Jacob Boehme would call the turba, the noise of society. All right. And I'm just going to stop there. I was going to go through all the houses, but I'll do that another time. This video is getting long. I will, let's see, stop share. And that will be all for today. Remember, Aries, a lot going on. And make April a fantastic month. Experience much joy as possible. When we're in a joyful state, then that means we're on the right path for our soul. Now, there will be a joyful state, and then it will dip just like the lunar waves of a full moon and a new moon. The tides shift from influx to efflux, and then lots of energy, not a lot of energy. There's a time to rest. Well, for April, a lot of us are going to be experiencing a lot of energy. Unless someone's Aries is on the bottom half of the chart, there still will be a lot of energy flowing through the inner world, but also know that the subconsciousness itself is just like a volcano that's ready to explode with all types of growth opportunities. Okay. It's growth opportunities either way. Top half of the chart, sub on the bottom half of the chart. But with these symbols, we can play with them and know that top half of my chart, there's going to be a lot coming in my life that will be wanting to influx my subconsciousness through suggestible state, and then my subconscious will respond and work with what it has. And that's where tarot can be very powerful. We know tarot and use the symbols, then our subconsciousness has more to work with. And we're talking many lifetimes. Tuning into our higher mind, our higher self, our divine self. Okay. We can have what I call a cosmic walk-in. That's where our higher self is actually embodied in us in all moments. We're still going to have human tendencies and human reactions and have feelings, but we actually are what we become. As we become, we win the, we become what we aim to be before we incarnated. Okay. And that's nothing more than remembrance. We can remember more, though, all the way back to Pangaea and Atlantis and Lemuria. We've all been there. Well, not all of us. but majority of us, along with the planetary logos. All right, that will be all. Have a great April.